This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey readers, I'm Anne Bogle, and this is What Should I Read Next, episode 268. Welcome to the show that's dedicated to answering the question that plagues every reader. What should I read next? We don't get bossy on the show. What we will do here is give you the information you need to choose your next read. And we have a special episode for you today, giving you lots of options to choose from. Readers, a few weeks ago, we hosted a virtual book party in the Modern Mrs. Darcy Book Club to celebrate our favorite books of the year. Our team shared their very favorite book, or it ended up being two or three top books of 2020, and we all walked away with a longer to-be-read list. Our team is made up of a bunch of bookworms with very different reading tastes, but that doesn't stop us from swapping book recommendations all the time. You'll get a taste of that today. Plus, you'll get to know our team of readers behind the podcast and the blog a little better, and also get some amazing book recommendations for yourself. If you'd like to see us talk about these books, the video recording of this event is available in the Modern Mrs. Darcy Book Club. This is our member community devoted to bookish community, classes, and conversation. In addition to events like these and classes on the reading life, every month we read one main book together and meet to discuss it on video, often with the author, including recent book club discussions with Anne Ma, Elizabeth Acevedo, and T.R.E. Jones. To find out more about the Modern Mrs. Darcy Book Club, go to members.modernmrsdarcy.com. And stay tuned at the end of this episode for a peek at our winter book club classes. That's members.modernmrsdarcy.com. Readers, we have a ton of great books to recommend today, so let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Book Club. We're so glad you're here. We're doing something new. We've never done anything like this before. I don't think even for the retreat, we had this many team members on screen. Will, I don't know that you've been on screen for Book Club. Y'all, we have a man in the house who isn't an author. This is a milestone. Thank you, William, for making that happen. Welcome to our book party. We are so glad that you are here, and we are really looking forward to doing this today. This is exactly what it sounds like. Our team members, by video and here in the room, are going to share some of our best books in the year with you. I mean, we're all big readers. This is an authentic operation by people who love books, for people who love books, and we're just really excited to do this today. If you have been to 67 Book Club events, we are so glad you're here. We really thought this time of year it would be fun and festive as we go into the new year to have a healthy portion of our team here live, and we are going to be listening in and taking notes while we're all talking, just like you are. We have done a couple things similar to today's event in the past, so if you like the feel of this, there is more where that came from. We have Patreon bonus episode 67 that Brenna produced. It's called What Our Team Has Been Reading This Summer. We also did our winter book preview digital magazine, where if you haven't looked at that yet, or if you have and now you're going to see it with new eyes, you can see where each of our team members shared a superlative read from 2020 so far. So please go check that out. Okay, so now we are going to take turns introducing ourselves. I am Anne. You may be putting a face to a voice for the first time, or maybe you've seen me around on the socials. Okay, Ginger Horton, it's your turn.
Hi, everyone. So if you are new around here, I am Ginger Horton, the book club community manager. So that means I get to hang out all day in the forums and chat with people about books, which is just a dream. So if you have any questions, ever any problems, anything like that, you will probably email me. So I'm glad to be here and very excited to talk books with you, new and old friends.
Ginger is fantastic at what she does for our community. And if you're old here, you know what I'm talking about. Shannon, you're up.
Hi, I'm Shannon, and I'm the event manager here at Modern Mrs. Darcy. So that means I help put on things like this.
Thank you. And Brenna, it's your turn. Now, Brenna, you have been to some crossover events before, but this is not where we usually get to see you, and we're so glad we get to do that today.
That's right. Normally, you might see me behind the scenes of What Should I Read Next? I'm the producer, and so I do a lot of editing and a lot of chatting with guests, and I'm also the community manager at Patreon, so that's why I'm at the crossover events.
We're glad you could be here today. Thank you. And she also made some extra magic happen to hear from voices we don't often, maybe ever, get to hear from. And Donna is in chat, but she's not joining us live. Donna is our spreadsheet guru. And now, Chelsea, it's your turn.
Hi. My official job title around here is an editor, but I'm known as our resident English professor, and every now and then I pop in for the extra nerdy stuff in book club.
I feel like that should work into your job title somehow.
Yes.
All right, Will, it's you. Guys, at team meetings, we often do things alphabetically, so Will is always, always last.
That is fine. We're doing titles. I think my title is like the behind the scenes guy because I don't come to stuff.
Joining us live from our library. I'm in the office and he's in the library. Okay, everybody, it's time to share our favorite books. I don't know what you all are going to be sharing, and I'm really excited to find out. Who gets to go first?
I'm so anxious to talk about books. I've been really excited this week, but I'm holding mine back until I tell you a little bit of setup. So sometime in my early 30s, someone gave me a piece of bookish advice that said, pick a book that you're going to read every year for the rest of your life. Well, my early 30s came and went because that is a lot of pressure. What do you want to read 30, 40, 50 more times? You know, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, as my grandma would say. It's a lot of pressure to pick a book like that. I thought about it. I considered Jane Eyre, which a lot of you know is a favorite, but I'm a rather slow reader. And so just percentage-wise, that would have taken a lot of my time. But this year, I found the book. So I felt like this definitely deserves the title of my best book of the year. And that is Till We Have Faces by C.S. Lewis. So no major shock that C.S. Lewis could be a best book. But one of the things that really added to my reading experience of this was that I read this as a community pick with the book club. And so those readers helped me to really take a hard look at this. I saw how much fruit this book has to offer. There's more juice in this fruit. So I know I can read this year after year after year because I saw things that I wouldn't have seen because fellow readers pointed them out. I love mythology. And then sort of an extra little tidbit that really pushed it over the edge for me this year was that we had a stay-at-home book tour with Patty Henry, and she said that Joy Davidman, C.S. Lewis's beloved wife, was really a co-author. She should have been listed as a co-author on this book, and I really felt that in the reading. I've read a lot of Lewis, and I really felt the feminine touch in this book. And so I just know that this book has more to offer me through the years. I cannot wait to revisit it. But I'm hoping to find some different versions. I intend next year to listen to it on audio to give myself a different reading experience. And so that is my best book of the year. I think I'm supposed to pass it off now to Shannon. And as Shannon said, she didn't give herself quite enough credit. She says she helps put events like this on. And that is true. But she does a lot more than that. I'll let her tell you a little bit more about her reading life. But if you've been to an event, she's probably keeping the clocks running on time, the trains running on time, and all those things behind the scenes. So Shannon and I talk books a lot, and I cannot wait to hear what she has to say.
Hi, guys. I'm Shannon, and I read about the same number of books this year as I did last year, which was very surprising to me. I read a lot of good fiction, and I'm not going to discuss it today because The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue and The 10,000 Doors of January have been discussed ad nauseum here. So I'm going to go a different direction with my picks. I'm going to tell you about the memoirs that I read this year that have made an impression on me. Let me start by explaining why I read memoir. I read memoir to learn about other people, their thoughts and their lessons that they have learned in their life, which will hopefully benefit me. I tend to read memoir that has to do with people whose life position is decidedly different from my own. If I'm not learning a little bit in my reading experience, I'm doing it wrong. So the first book is, I think I've talked about this one, Born a Crime, Trevor Noah. This was my first book on audio. It was great. You can hear me talk about that more in some of our past events. But I learned so much about racism, socioeconomics, South African apartheid, things I thought I really knew about. I didn't. Great book. 5 stars. My next one is a tad bit controversial, y'all. It elicits a slew of reactions and emotions from people, and it did elicit some pretty strong reactions in me. But after the year we've had and seeing the venom or vehement nature of some of my countrymen's response to George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Barack Obama, and his memoir, I'm learning to pay attention to things that upset me and to really examine why they're upsetting me and why I'm mad in the first place. I really want to go a little bit deeper and find out why my hackles are rising, why I'm becoming defensive, and why am I crying? And this book made me cry. It is Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I read this book twice this year. The second time I read it, I took it very, very slowly, and I journaled through the specific passages that elicited the most response from me. I learned so many things. One thing that Glennon says in here, and I have to read it because I'm going to get it wrong. The truth is that it matters not at all what you think about my life. This is Glennon Doyle speaking. But it matters supremely what you think of your own. Judgment is just another cage we live in. So we don't have to feel, to know, and to imagine. Judgment is essentially self-abandonment. You are here to decide if your life, relationships, and your world are true and beautiful enough for you. I will probably read this again. 5 stars, even though some of it made me a little upset. She talks about everything in here. Being a part of modern Mrs. Darcy, I cannot have just one. So, my next book is Our Lady of Perpetual Hunger by Lisa Donovan. I was introduced to this by Mary Laura Philpott. She was the author of I Miss You When I Blink. And I haven't seen this on anyone's radar. And I had to actually make a purchase suggestion from my library. And you see they did. And I was the first one to get it. Yay! Mary Laura describes it, and she does it so much better than I do, as a journey about Lisa as a chef. And you learn a lot about being a chef and a woman, I'm telling you. But there's so many other things to learn in this book. And I'm going to quote Mary Laura now. More than anything, this book is about love and life, the stubborn, unquenchable flame within us that demands us to survive and to thrive. I don't know about you guys, but 2020 was more about surviving than thriving. Yet there's something inside of me that wants to, that cries out to thrive. Like, don't just survive. I want to be free. I want to be untamed, actually. And memoir shared this wealth of experience with me so that I don't have to make the mistakes that they made if I learn from them. And that's the point of the memoir, to share a writer's experience with the hope that it will be helpful to someone else. All 3 of these books did that for me this year. Back to you, Anne.
Shannon, thank you so much for sharing those. I have not read either of those books, but can you see? That's Untamed right there on the middle shelf. But Our Lady of Perpetual Hunger is just right on the bookshelf next to it. And I haven't even opened it because, y'all, I get a lot of books in the mail. And I'm so glad you said that. I am making notes. The chat wants you to know that the quotes you pulled were amazing. Okay, so our next team member you'll be hearing from is someone who, if you listen to the podcast and if you listen to the end, you have heard me talk about a lot. At the end of every episode, I say, thanks to the people who make the show happen. What Should I Read Next is produced by Brenna Frederick with sound design by Kellen Pekacek. But you never hear from Kellen. You just hear what Kellen creates. But today you get to hear from Kellen. And I'm really excited to share this with you. And I have no idea what he's going to tell us about, but I am really excited to listen.
Hello, readers. I'm Kellen. I'm the sound designer for What Should I Read Next? And you've probably never seen me. You've probably never heard my voice. I'm usually just completely behind the scenes in everything. But today we get to meet each other and talk about some of our favorite books of 2020. One of mine that is at the very top is The Magicians. This, along with the entire series, there's a trilogy of these, are going to be on my reread list for years. The Magicians is a story about Quentin Coldwater, who is a depressed, just going into college, stage magic nerd, socially awkward, that kind of a personality. And he longs for magic to be real. And he gets his wish in the first chapter. Him and his best friend Julia go to Breakbills, which is a magic college, and they take an entrance exam to get in. And I would liken it most to The Chronicles of Narnia. What I loved about this book is the writing and the pacing, and honestly, just the characters themselves. Every single one of them, you kind of understand who they are, what their motivations are, why they're doing what they're doing. That's one of the things I like the most. Even though it's fantasy, the characters and their personalities and their decisions are grounded in reality. You know, it's what you or I would do in these situations. And I love that in a book. If you do choose to continue through the series, I would say look online for some trigger warnings. The series doesn't shy away from graphic descriptions of violence and other things. And the second book has a pretty graphic scene that's very easily skippable. You're not going to miss any information, but you should know that going into it. My second book is Into the Drowning Deep. Now, some of you might recognize this from another one of our episodes where us on the What Should I Read Next team gave some of our favorite books. This was one of Brenna's favorite books. And once she was done with it, she shoved this into my hands and said, I think you'll love this book. It's got science. It's got suspense. It's got everything for you. And she was pretty much right. I do typically like to read a lot of real world articles on physics and astronomy. And this one also hit on one of my other passions. The main character is Victoria Stewart, and she is a sonar specialist because, you know, it's audio. It has to do with reflections and acoustics and all that kind of stuff. I love that. I nerd out about it. And you can probably tell by me doing sound design for What Should I Read Next. The basis of this book is that an expedition went out to the Marianas Trench put on by this media company who's very famous for their documentary style films proving the existence of various cryptids. You know, they're proving aliens exist and Bigfoot and all these other creatures. And they went out to go prove that mermaids existed. Well, the ship was found with nobody on it and cameras seeming to show mermaids attacking the crew. Victoria's sister was on this boat. Everybody was lost. She's looking for answers. And so she decides to go on the next expedition to try and find out what happened to the Atargatis. And also the company is very interested in proving that mermaids exist. I grew up reading thrillers, and this to me got that itch back for me. I closed this book and I turned to Brenna and I said, I need to read more thrillers. To me, it took me back to my childhood, staying up till 1 a.m. in the morning, reading, you know, whatever the latest thriller was. I read a lot of Frank Peretti and Ted Dekker at that point. Those are my two favorite books for this year. I hope you have a happy new year and happy reading.
Your all's comments cracked me up. He is real. Yes, indeed. And thank goodness, because I don't know what we would do without him. We haven't always had Kellen as our audio engineer, but I think our audio engineering got a lot better when he came on the team. And I'm so glad that you all got to meet him. You're about to hear Brenna Frederick. It's my voice you hear each week on the show, but it's Brenna, our What Should I Read Next producer, who makes those conversations run so smoothly and sound so good.
If anyone is confused, I am married to our audio engineer. We're a married audio team. So I had a very difficult time choosing what my favorite reads were this year, because somehow in this chaotic, difficult year, I actually read a lot of things that I really enjoyed, and actually more books than I've read in the last 2 years. Good escapism, I guess. The first one that I want to talk about, I read last week over Christmas break for me, and it was recommended by, I believe, Emily Van Ark in her What Should I Read Next episode, and it was the Wayfarer series by Becky Chambers. I read two of these books in a week, and I could not put them down, and they brought me so much joy, and now all I want to do is read more sci-fi. I used to read a lot of sci-fi, and I kind of got away from it, and now I'm just going to dive way back in. The first book in the series is The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. I grew up watching Star Trek, especially Next Generation, and the first book in the series scratches that really specific itch of marathoning a really good TV show where there's like an overarching plot, but there's also these little mini plots that just keep you going. That's what reading this book felt like. The first book is about sort of a ragtag band of human and alien characters, and they all have different secrets, and there's a couple like, whoa, what's happening moments that were really satisfying and really took me out of my world right now, which I needed over break. The second book in the series is actually my favorite for the year. It's called A Closed and Common Orbit, and it's a little bit different than the first one. It's not as like episodic. It mostly focuses on two main characters. Usually it's very difficult for me to envision physical spaces described in books, but Chambers had me visualizing like bustling streets on a foreign planet and futuristic tech shops and bars that needed to accommodate different species butts, basically. Like their body, their anatomy is just different, so they need different kinds of chairs. And she had me imagining that, and it was so delightful. I read this in 24 hours, and it really made me a Becky Chambers convert. Like, I will read anything that she puts out, because I love sci-fi that makes you think about existence and choices and what it means to be a conscious and exist in the universe. And this book does it in a really beautiful way. It's the story of an AI who recently inhabited an artificial body, which is illegal, and learning to survive in this world that isn't built for her, and the friend who makes space for that learning curve. The way Chambers built this world is obviously not human. Humans are not the center of this universe. If anything, they're sort of recently added to the party. But the series is so humane. It's so interesting seeing the different alien cultures that she's created, and it feels kind. Like, this is kind sci-fi. Difficult things happen. There's cruelty, there's death, but I felt cared for as a reader, and that was a really wonderful feeling this year. So not only was it a beautiful story, but I came away feeling better and thinking about ways that I wanted to live my life better, and it had maybe more of a emotional, psychological impact than nonfiction I've read ever has. So I have the third book on my nightstand right now. I've got the fourth one that's coming out in 2021 pre-ordered, and I'll buy anything Becky Chambers writes. And then real quick, another series that really made me smile this year. This is a Heartstopper series by Alice Osman. It's a YA, sort of a romantic YA graphic novel series. It started as a webcomic, but there's three combined volumes so far, and another coming in 2021. And it's this really, really sweet, very like age-appropriate love story between this sort of high-strung, anxious, but very like gentle and sweet gay teenager Charlie, and then Nick, who's this sort of cheerful rugby player who does not know yet that he's bi. And it's absolutely beautiful. It reminded me of being a teenager. It's well-paced, like nothing goes too fast. I think she nails the feeling of being a teen, having really confusing first crushes, feeling things you didn't expect to feel, things you wanted to feel, not feeling the way you thought they would when you get them. And it's gentle, it's lovingly written. I was proud of everyone in the series by the end. It transported me away from my problems for a couple days. I couldn't stop smiling while I was reading it. So those are my favorites.
Brenna, thank you so much for sharing those. And I feel like there's a Becky Chambers conspiracy afoot. This feels like a real thing. You have a lot of control over our podcast guests. So I already have her on my short list of authors I want to read. And then, y'all, I read what Brenna tells me to. Like, this is a life rule that has served me well. And she's also recommended books to my kids that they have loved and adored. So, yeah, I see what's happening here. I also have Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. Was that your winter book preview book?
It was.
Well, it is halfway between Untamed and Our Lady of Perpetual Hunger on my stack situation back there. Okay, next up, we have another video from Lee Kramer, who many of you all know as your go-to romance expert. And she was here for our summer stay-at-home book club retreat that we did. So I'm excited for all of you to get to see her today. Okay, here we go.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lee Kramer, and I am the editor and social media manager at Modern Mrs. Darcy. So I do a little bit of everything behind the scenes. First, The 100,000 Kingdoms by N.K. Jemisin. This is the first time I've read N.K. Jemisin. I've meant to read her for years, and within a few pages, I immediately understood why she has gotten all of the awards and accolades. They are so richly deserved. I inhaled this book. I could not put it down. I also was reading it with friends, and buddy reads have really saved me this year. I haven't had a hard time reading, but having the discussion and just the rhythm of reading a book with other people and getting to go deeper with it, which everyone in book club already knows and appreciates, that's just really made such a difference in my reading life this year. And so discussing what happened in this book in particular was really great. It's a really well-developed fantasy world. I really wanted to see what was going to happen to Yane as she is named the heiress to the king and has to deal with all of these really complex and vicious power dynamics. She also gets to know these gods who have been enslaved by the people in this kingdom. Just wrapping your head around how can gods become enslaved and why did that happen? How did it happen? Should it have happened? There's also a little romance between Yane and Nahadoth, who is one of the more troubling gods, shall we say. But I was very into that development and I just... yeah, I couldn't put it down. I needed to know what would happen next and cannot recommend it more highly. Definitely looking forward to reading the rest of this trilogy. Next, Touch of Stone and Snow by Mila Vane. This is the second book in her Gathering of Dragons series. This is a barbarian romance. On the gritty, violent side, definitely check out the content warnings if you're concerned. But this one, I would say, is not as violent as the others. If that helps or not, I don't know. But it's immersive. It's a childhood friends to lovers, second chance romance between Arax and Lizanne. They have not seen each other for years. Lizanne would prefer to keep it that way. She thinks that Arax betrayed her, but he was not. But he also did not do things as well as he could have. So it's really, they have massive external conflicts. Their feelings haven't changed. And so it's just kind of dealing with the external conflicts. And also the fact that a goddess has told Lizanne that she's going to die when the first snowfall comes. So it is a romance. There is a happily ever after. But this is the kind of romance that really rips your heart out. And this is my favorite kind of romance. So I loved this one. Could not get enough of it. This is open door. There is sexual tension for days. And just going to cram one more in really quickly. So this is Fingersmith by Sarah Waters. It's gothic literary fiction. It was described to me as lesbian Oliver Twist, and it's not a retelling, but it definitely has Dickensian vibes. The first act was a little slow for me, but once I got through that, I tore through the last 400 pages. I just really, really needed to know what was going to happen next. It's about an orphan named Sue, and she's trying to con this girl named Maud. Again, no spoilers, but there are so many twists and turns and just like twists that really made me gasp out loud. And I just had to know what would happen. So definitely want to read more of Sarah Waters. So that's me. Those are my best books of the year.
I love the way that she said, if you love books that just rip your heart out and stomp on it, those are my favorite kind. It reminds me of like Jamie Golden in early What Should I Read Next episode. It might be episode one. You know, I just want a book that lands me like curled up, crying on the floor in the fetal position. Like, that's my favorite kind of book. Okay, next up is Will sharing his favorite books. Y'all, we have been talking about this all week, what he is going to share. And I'm not entirely sure that I know where he landed.
Well, you should know at least one of the books because I included this in the winter book preview. We all got to throw a book in. And so my first one is Before Familiar Woods. If nothing else, I'm sure you can get the trees out of that. One of the things I loved about this book is just like the serendipity of getting it. It's a debut author that I've never heard of. Obviously, we get a lot of books in the mail and this one just showed up. And as soon as it landed on the counter, you know, came out of a package, I was like, oh, I think I might read that. It's got trees. It was blurbed. The hardcover that we got had a blurb on the front cover by David Joy, who I've enjoyed a lot. It was very similar to a lot of things I read by David Joy. So this was a gritty small town with secrets story. which I think is kind of all I'm going to tell you about this, the story. It definitely has some pretty tough themes in it. It opens with the town being sort of traumatized that two kids had died several years ago. And so that's sort of the backdrop. And then things are unfolding where two men, their fathers, disappear. But you come to find out over the book that there are a lot of more secrets in the town. And as that unfolds in small town life, everybody knows each other, the cast of characters there. So that was before Familiar Woods. And I read that fairly early on. But like I said, I just love that you never know where your next great read's gonna come from. My next one, though, I read this the summer. It's called On the Burning Edge. This is by Kyle Dickman. This has been on my to-be-read list probably before I had a to-be-read list, just something I knew about. It was an Outside Magazine article he wrote probably going on 7 years ago or something like that about the Yarnell Hill fire outside of, I think, Prescott. So this summer, as we were dealing with wildfires once again, that cropped up. I should finally get around to reading that. And it was amazing. I had read the magazine piece. It was very long and well done. And the book is also long, but reads just as a great story of these guys, their summer, how they all came to join the team. And hotshot crews are it's basically part-time work. You only work seasonally, and most of it's hourly and not particularly well paid. And so how they all came together, and then they go on a couple of runs before the Yarnell Hill fire, which was the largest hotshot casualty event in 50 years or something like that. So the book sort of ends kind of at that point in like July or something like that, but you trace them through the season up to that point. Really well done, like on the ground reporting. Kyle Dickman was a hotshot for a couple of years before he wrote that. And if we're allowed to put in one more book, I wasn't sure if that was allowed, but then I heard Lee was doing it. So William Kent Kruger was here. Was that last December? Did he join book club? So I read Iron Lake. I was looking at my reading journal, and I read, this is the first book in the Cork O'Connor series by William Kent Kruger. And I read 9 of these books this year. And I don't remember the format, but Anne, I think you teased me at one point in a bonus episode or Instagram or something like that about not liking series because I said something about not reading them all at once. I said, no, I like to have them there in case. And this year I needed a book in case because I couldn't decide. And then I'd try and pick something up because I thought I wanted to or should read it or whatever. And I just couldn't get into stuff. And apparently I could get into that because looking back, I read 9 of them this year. So that's the Cork O'Connor series.
Thank you. And yes, I was saying in chat that our official team policy is basically, you can always squeeze in just one more title. Next up, we have Donna Hetchler. Donna is our numbers guru and resident spreadsheet whisperer.
I'm so excited to be here. I picked 2 books that I loved in 2020, and they kind of have a little bit of a similar theme. So number 1, they're both really fun escapist reads. Number 2, they both surprised me, and I will explain. And number 3, I haven't seen Anne ever talk about these books or authors. I haven't seen them on What Should I Read Next? So I'm hoping they might be a couple new ones for people. First one, Burn for Me by Alona Andrews. And Alona Andrews is actually a husband and wife writing team. I don't know if you could see that cover very well, but it's, you know, a couple kind of in an embrace, and the man, frankly, is not wearing a shirt. So I've been reading a lot of steamy romances this year. That's why I got this book. However, here's what surprised me about it. This book had the best action sequences that I read all year long. I was so on the edge of my seat reading this book. It really reminded me of like watching a Marvel movie or an X-Men movie, which is not what you get from this cover. It's very misleading. It's actually a fantasy series. This is the first in. The 5th book just recently came out. I read all 5 books back to back and loved them. The basic premise of it is you have a bunch of different families who are kind of at war with each other. They all have different magical powers. So the main woman that we're following, her name is Nevada Baylor. She's a private investigator, and her magical power is that she can tell when people are lying to her, which comes in very handy if you're an investigator. Now, she may have some other powers. You'll find out as you read it. If you want something filled with action, fantastic dialogue. Her extended family is so funny. She has a grandmother that is a total hoot. I laughed out loud reading this book. And there is also some romance. Not that steamy, though. I would say 2.5 out of 5 on the steaminess factor, but really fun book. My second book is called The Tourist Attraction. Look at how cute that cover is. Honestly, I got it because of this cute little dog on the cover. I could not resist it. The author is Sarah Morgan Thaler, and I think this is the first book that she wrote. This is more like a typical rom-com, but here's what surprised me about it. I feel like I read a fair amount of rom-coms because I love rom-com movies, but I don't usually laugh that much. Like, they're supposed to be funny. I don't find them that funny. This book literally had me laughing out loud and maybe even snorting a couple times when I was reading it. It takes place in a fictional town in Alaska called Moose Springs. It follows this woman, Zoe. She is on a 2-week vacation into this town, and she meets up with her friend, and they meet some local people, including Graham, who is kind of a little bit of a curmudgeon. If you've watched the Gilmore Girls, he really reminded me of Luke. They definitely have that kind of vibe going on. Great dialogue. And I love the fact that it was set in Alaska because there were Alaskan related adventures that they go on, which I thought was a fun element to it. I just had fun reading this book. This is actually also kind of a series. She just came out with a follow-up called Mistletoe and Mr. Right. There's that cute dog again. I have not read this one yet. I'm kind of saving it to be my last book of the year. So those are my 2 books. I enjoyed them so much, and I hope others will as well.
Here we have Chelsea Fader. Chelsea is our resident English professor and an extraordinary editor who does a lot of behind-the-scenes post-production work on the show.
Okay, I'm going to start with my favorite audiobook of the year. I listened to a lot of audiobooks because I did a ton of hiking this year. My favorite was Transcendent Kingdom. Here's my Libro FM app. I don't have a copy of the book, so that will have to suffice as a visual. I specifically wanted to highlight the audiobook because Bonnie Turpin narrates it, and she is fabulous. So the book is about Gifty, and Gifty is exploring faith and science and really grappling with some things that have happened in her family. I won't go too much further into it because it's one of the buzziest books of the year, but I just really wanted to highlight Bonnie Turpin's audiobook narration because the book was so good on audio. And I learned through listening to this one on audio that I really like listening to introspective literary fiction. If you enjoy listening to memoir and listening to people narrate their own stories, if you can find a first-person literary fiction book that you maybe think you might not pick up, try it in audio format if you like memoir on audio, and it might really work for you. I found that to be the case with several books this year, but especially Transcendent Kingdom. I just think Yaa Jessie is such a good storyteller, and Bonnie Turpin's voice was amazing with that book. And then another introspective literary fiction book that I loved was Writers and Lovers by Lily King. This one was on the summer reading guide, but I didn't get to it until a couple of weeks ago, and I think I read it in 3 sittings. I loved this book so much. It's about Casey, and Casey is a struggling writer. She is working on her book. She's trying to get it sent out for publishing, and in the meantime, she is waiting tables at a fancy restaurant. She is in a little bit of a love triangle, and I just found Lily King's writing to be so completely absorbing, and I think that I'm going to make Lily King's backlist a project for 2021 for my reading life, so I'm really excited to read more from her. And then I read a lot of romance this year, so I had to pick a really fun romance novel to share. Lee, our resident romance expert, has recommended Olivia Dade to me a few times, and I finally got around to reading an Olivia Dade book. This one is spoiler alert. it's really fun. So, okay, it's about Marcus and April. And Marcus is the star of this really, really popular TV series that kind of resembles Game of Thrones. And you can kind of catch a lot of snarky references to Game of Thrones throughout the book. But he is not the biggest fan of the way that the show is going, especially in the last season. He just thinks that the direction for his character is not great and it's not as good as the books that it was based on. So he secretly writes fan fiction about the show that he stars in. And he has a best friend on the fan fiction site, April. They don't know each other's real names. So when April, through a Twitter incident, ends up going on a date with Marcus, they don't know that they are actually best friends on the fanfiction website, but they start to fall for each other. So, of course, that secret's going to have to come out somehow. I thought that one of the most fun parts of this book is the structure. In between chapters, you get excerpts of their fanfiction. The excerpts of their fanfiction sort of move the plot along and sort of highlight things about what's happening in the story. There are also text excerpts and samples of the scripts from some of the movies and shows that Marcus has been in before, and it just is hilarious and fun, and I really enjoyed it. It is steamy. I think that if you read Jasmine Guillory and you find that steam level is okay for you, this is probably right at the same level. Maybe it's a little bit spicier than Jasmine Guillory, but easy to skip those open door scenes. So, spoiler alert by Olivia Dade. Such a fun romance.
Thank you, Chelsea. Also, I really love the way that you got there. I love the genre this year, and therefore, I had to choose a book that represented it. Okay, now it's my turn. I really wanted to share a book with you that I hadn't already written about on the blog and that I hadn't already shared in the winter book preview. Luckily, I've been reading a lot. So here's what I've got. Just last week, I picked up a book off my shelf that I have had for like a year, and I really ended up loving it. And first, let me tell you, when I found that this season, when I am feeling a little overwhelmed by not knowing what to read next, which is more an indication of my state of mental fatigue and not the state of my bookshelves, that turning to nonfiction has served me well. This is something that's happened in the past. Also, historically, I read books about urban planning and other kind of niche interests during this time of year because that's something that I'm doing just for me. It's not work because I just read because I'm interested in it, not because I'm ever going to talk about it in book club. And yet, here we go. So the book that I just read is Walking One Step at a Time. It's in translation from, I think, Norwegian. It's by Erling Kagge. And this is a somewhat philosophical meditation on walking. I know that some of you love to reread or read romance, cozy mysteries when you want comfort reading. I like to read nonfiction about the physical world and especially about stuff like sidewalks and walking in the woods. So that's why I picked this one up when I did, and I loved it so much. And I took a ridiculous number of notes in my book journal. Can you see? Here's the book journal. Typical entry, typical entry, typical entry. There's a quote, but look, this is walking. It goes here, and then it goes forward 20 pages. It just keeps going with the quotes because I just couldn't stop writing stuff down. Also, I think that the mark of a great book or one that hits me in a different way is when I can't stop reading it out loud to the people in my family. But I just love the way he talked about something that I find really brings me peace of mind and makes me feel like myself, and that is walking. But the way he turned it into a philosophical treatise, he was a little over the top sometimes, like, why would you ever get in a car? And I thought, I don't know, I have some ideas. But the way he talked about how walking is grounding and expansive and why. And then he tells some stories about some meaningful walks that he has experienced, whether that's walking to work or literally walking to the South Pole, because he went on a trip that inspired a book that I want to read next. I just really love it. And I know that many of you know that the books that really make for an exceptional reading experience for me often include an element of surprise. And I was just really surprised at how fascinating and delightful this book was. I really enjoyed it. Okay, I have shared so many upcoming books I'm excited about in the winter book preview and on the blog, but I really wanted to share something new with you And then I thought, oh, of course, I know exactly what I want to talk about. And some of you, I've already attempted to talk your ear off about this book. I've talked about it to my real life friends. I really can't wait for it to come out because I would have given this book 10 times at least for Christmas and birthdays if I could have between when I read it in October and now. It's called Laundry Love, and it is about laundry. This is also total comfort reading for me. It's the subtitle is Finding Joy in a Common Chore. It's by Patrick Richardson and Karen Miller. I highlighted this thing to pieces on my Kindle, and I refer to it all the time. I think another mark of a good book is, does it change my life? And I know that laundry may seem boring, but he writes about it with such soul and humor and fascination. And this definitely has that surprise factor as well that I love the reading experience. And also, I went to stare at my washing machine and looked at the manual and changed the way I do things. I ordered different washing powder. I ordered new detergents. I changed the way I wash darks. I changed the way I wash sweaters. I turn everything inside out now. But he tells these fascinating stories from his tailoring and costuming days. He also grew up in Kentucky, not the same part where I am, but I did enjoy that connection. He would tell stories about how, like, once he received an emergency call at work that said a bride's niece had run up to her with open arms to tell her how beautiful she looked in her wedding gown with a Sharpie in her hand. And could he come save the day? And he could. And he tells you how and how he thought about it. And it was like a mystery novel in that sense with family drama, stain, intrigue. It was just so fascinating. It comes out March 30th from Flatiron. I was floored to find out that Flatiron was publishing a laundry book. But seriously, I can't wait. I can't wait. He runs laundry camps at the Mall of America, or at least he did pre-COVID. And I would actually love nothing more than to spend 3 hours on a Saturday morning at laundry camp with Patrick Richardson, because it's just so obvious from the writing. He's a character. He'd tell good stories. You want to have dinner with him like every Thursday for the rest of your life. But also, let me tell you, because, you know, our theme around here is always room for one more, a standout book. And I don't know that that was clear from the winter book preview. I really did love and adore The Survivors by Jane Harper. Family story, past tragedy, present turmoil. It's a murder mystery as well. But the setting in the caves where if you go in when the tide is out and the tide comes in, you're not coming out. Ooh, it made me claustrophobic in the same way that Into the Drowning Deep made me claustrophobic in a really, wow, I'm amazed at the emotions that this author can evoke in me experience. I loved it. This is coming February. And I just reread two books that I thoroughly enjoyed. The first is Ann Patchett's The Getaway Car. I know we have a lot of aspiring writers in this group. If you identify as such and you have not read The Getaway Car, I highly recommend it. The reason I picked this up for the first time since like 2012 or something like that is because I listened to The Best of Me by David Sedaris. And there's a little interview at the end, which was great. And he was asked for writing advice. And he said, well, sit down and write. How come nobody ever tries that? But also, read The Getaway Car by Ann Patchett, because she says everything you could want to know. And so that put it in my mind and made me want to pick it up again. And when Chelsea was talking about writers and lovers, I thought, oh my gosh, those books go so great together. They'd be an amazing pairing. And also, I reread Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb. I think 2 years ago, this was the very last book we added to the 2019 Summer Reading Guide. And the reason I read it while traveling, when the guide content was already finalized, but I loved it so much that we just had to make room for it. And we did, because it was important. If you think you've missed this one by Ann Patchett, I think the reason is probably that it was a Kindle single. It's only been published in that format and it's not in print. So you would never find it at the library or something like that. And it's short. It's maybe 100 pages. And that's it for my books. I don't really want to say goodbye because it's so fun to see everybody on screen. So thank you all for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Brush up those TBRs and happy reading, everyone. Readers, have you been reflecting on your reading life in the new year? In the Modern Mrs. Darcy Book Club, we're learning how to reflect on our reading lives in order to cultivate habits, tips, and tricks for our best reading year ever. With classes, virtual events, and discussion forums, our book club community fosters great conversations about all things books and reading. Member Christina says, I love how this group has helped me expand the genres I read and how awesome it is to learn there are people who love reading as much as I do. There are more kindred spirits in this world than I thought. This winter, we're learning how to take the temperature of our reading lives, set better reading intentions, streamline our to-be-read lists, and declutter our shelves, both actually and metaphorically. I teach these classes live, but we always post a video recording for members to view whenever they want, so it works for your schedule. The same goes for our author chats, where I sit down to discuss our book club pick with the author and members get to ask questions right then. In the Modern Mrs. Darcy community, we talk books and the reading life, providing space for reflection, conversation, and skill building as we learn to read better together. We'd love for you to join us. Our new winter sessions, along with our extensive library of classes and events like the one you heard today, are included with your book club membership. Go to members.modernmrsdarcy.com to sign up today. That's members.modernmrsdarcy.com. Hey readers, I hope you enjoyed our whole team's book recommendations today, and I know they'd love to hear what you think they should read next. That page is at whatshouldireadnextpodcast.com/268, and it's where you'll find the full list of titles we talked about today. Subscribe now so you don't miss next week's episode in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We will see you next week. If you're on Twitter, I'm there at Ann Bogle. That's Ann with an E, B as in books, O-G-E-L. Tag us on Instagram to share what you are reading. I'm there at Ann Bogle and at What Should I Read Next. Our newsletter subscribers are the first to know all the What Should I Read Next news and happenings. If you're not on the list, just go to whatshouldireadnextpodcast.com/newsletter to sign up for our free weekly delivery. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to support it in a tangible way, we'd love to have you become a supporter in our Patreon community. This is a place where you can financially support the show, and in exchange, to make it attractive, we give you perks like bonus episodes and peeks behind the scenes. You can also purchase one of my books, I'd Rather Be Reading or Don't Overthink It, for yourself or a friend. We'd also love it if you shared the show with a friend or if you left a review on Apple Podcasts. All those things help other readers find the show. Thanks to the people who make the show happen. What Should I Read Next is produced by Brenna Frederick with sound design by Kellen Pekacek. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. And as Rainer Maria Rilke said, ah, how good it is to be among people who are reading. Happy reading, everyone.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Calm Cove podcast can help you sleep deeply all night long. Calm Cove has deeply relaxing meditation music and ambient sounds, like ocean waves and crackling fires. All of our episodes are designed to help you relax and to fall asleep fast. Calm Cove is brought to you by the team behind Sleep Cove, the sleep podcast that consists of spoken word hypnosis, meditation, and stories. So if you want to listen to a beautiful soundscape tonight, search for Calm Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see how we're helping millions of people relax and go to sleep every night.